And welcome back to Juno Afternoon. Glad to have you here with us today. I'm Rhonda McBride. The Juno Audubon Society has got a wintertime adventure for us at their upcoming monthly lecture. Only this adventure takes place on the other side of the equator, where there are bright and colorful birds. And for us that are weary of winter, this should be a good respite. And joining me, we have Brenda Wright, who is the programs manager for the Juno Audubon Society, as well as Kimberly Ramos, who is this month's presenter and is going to talk to us about tropical birds. But Brenda, I thought I would begin with you in this conversation, because I know that you try, in most cases, to focus on local birds. But why did you decide that this was a good time to capitalize on Kimberly's travels to South America?
Well, I had three excellent reasons. We're getting more sunshine, but it's not warm. The wonderful photographs of these beautiful birds, and a chance to get out of town.
So is this going to be an in-person presentation, or will this again be virtual?
No, this will be a Zoom presentation again. We had our board meeting while we were still in a more protected type of thing. And so for sure, we're going to do this as a Zoom, but hopefully next fall we'll be in person again.
Oh boy, because this would be a fun one to be in person and talk with people. But Kimberly, we are going to have the benefits of your travel. Can you tell us a little bit about what birds you're going to show us, where you went? And I'm sure that it's probably amazing to go to South America and see all the birds.
Yeah, so I traveled all throughout Panama and Costa Rica, and I saw so many different birds while I was there, over 200 species. So I'm going to highlight just some stories and some of my favorite birds, which include a couple of toucan species, some scarlet macaws, and some really colorful honey creepers and tanagers that I saw along the way.
So what made you choose these two locales for your birding adventure?
Honestly, it was kind of a last minute decision. This trip was a honeymoon for me and my husband, and we had a lot of different ideas flying around. And we kind of just decided to go somewhere warm. And I had never been to Panama or Costa Rica, and I knew it would be a wildlife hotspot. So we really only planned this trip in maybe like 3 weeks before we left. And we, you know, I'm sure many of us feel the same way. In the start of winter, it's nice to get a little sunshine before the cold and the dark sets in.
So a honeymoon along with lots of sightings of birds, but you do bird watching here in Juno, and of course we do have a wide variety of birds, as Brenda has shown us in the various programs that we see from the Juno Audubon Society. But what's that like? Because it's got to be totally different birds than what we see here.
Oh yeah, so different. You know, here we have, of course, so many beautiful birds, but a lot of them, I think, are much more camouflaged. When you go out into these tropical forests in Central America, you know, the colors are really astounding. The most brilliant reds, the most brilliant blues and greens and yellows, and these colors that don't even seem real. So I'd say that was one of the main differences, and just the sheer abundance. Like I said, I saw over 200 species of birds while I was there.
200?
200, yeah.
Oh, my. And, you know, of course, you've been focusing on the colors, but what about the sounds?
So many sounds. And honestly, it's not just the birds down there. There are howler monkeys that make these incredibly strange and loud booming noises. So it's almost this cacophony of birds and mammals. And then the forest itself is also creaking and making all sorts of sounds.
So you obviously have got bird watching skills from following all the many species of birds that we have in the Juno area. Do any of those skills apply?
Yeah, I think that anyone who spends time watching birds or really any wildlife, your eyes and your senses sort of become attuned to looking for that little dash of movement or that little call to try to hone in on where it is. So yeah, I'd say all of those skills helped, but I also had the luck of having a very talented local Panamanian guide for part of my trip. So he was, of course, such a great resource.
Well, if anyone's interested in taking a trip someday or maybe next winter, they'll be able to get a sense of what that experience might be like from you. So, Brenda, what particulars do we need to know if we want to watch your presentation?
Well, it'll be tomorrow night on Zoom. And our Zoom address will be available on Facebook and our Juneau Audubon Society webpage. And it starts at 7. And after her presentation, we'll have plenty of time for question and answer.
That's right. It's a live presentation, even though it's virtual. So you have been outside as well. So and your travels apparently were driven by bird watching as well.
Yes, for many, many years, I've often wanted to go to where our birds, a lot of our birds that pass through or live here with us in the summer, spend their winters. So I just spent time going down in Oregon and California to 17 wildlife refuges and trying to check it out and see where have they gone and do they recognize me when I come say hello.
Well, can you give some examples of birds that are on the Juneau migratory path that you were checking out?
Oh, sure. There's not only the Canadian goose that passes through here, but sandhill cranes, almost every shorebird, all the white-fronted geese. Oh, golly, it goes on and on. Lots and lots of ducks, even warblers. But one thing that was kind of a highlight for me, since we seldom see it, or I have never seen it here, is a western bluebird. And if it happens to be a sunny day and you're sitting at a picnic table and they come next to your elbow, it's quite a treat.
So did you get a better look at them in their different habitat in the lower 48 than maybe you do here? It's like Kimberly said, the birds here are very well camouflaged.
Yes, out there, they spend a lot of time. The wildlife refuges are designed to help keep them fed and have them healthy all winter. So they're often out in open fields or large lakes or ponds. So you do get a much nicer chance. But I would like to mention what we're having for our last public presentation in April too, if there's time.
Sure.
So we're going to have a canoe trip down the Noatak River that took place in June 2020. That's, you know, up north here. So it was taken by four friends down canoeing.
So that's in the Kotzebue area, right?
Yes, close to the gates of the Arctic. And so it was Jeff Sauer, Teresa Svenkara, Doug Woodby, and Mary Hausler. And not only are they all good photographers, but they've all been naturalists or guides in some portion of their life. So I'm looking forward to it too, just like Kim. They're excellent photographers and interpreters.
So Kimberly, in wrapping things up, what do you hope will be the takeaway from your presentation tomorrow night?
Oh man, just that, you know, there's so many beautiful places all around the world, but if you are looking for a really big concentration of not just birds, but all kinds of wildlife, Panama and Costa Rica is such an incredible place to visit. The wildlife is spectacular and the people there are truly just so kind and wonderful. So I would recommend for anyone who has that travel bug to go check it out.
All right. Well, thanks for stoking our travel bug. We have Brenda Wright, who's the program manager for the Juneau Audubon Society, as well as Kimberly Ramos, who is tomorrow night's presenter. Thank you both.